Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program may not be suitable for children.
Hold on to your butts.
As the sun sets over Slab Town, in the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, a club comes to life where you can let your freak flag fly.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
The only thing that's off limits are the words you can't say thanks to the FCC.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah, now.
Google me, bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, my.
Okay.
Why are you going in?
I was a lie.
What did he burglar?
Rocking you on a Friday? Why did I say
expired.
That?
Expired.
Wonderful. Just marvelous. Super.
That's 50% stupid.
I'm gay.
Well, I really enjoy the show.
Okay,
thank
we
you.
Apologize. Bye.
It's time for the club, baby.
Yeah.
On 105.1 and 1080, The Fan. Hoo-wee.
Quick update for you on Monday Night Football. The Bucks appear to be taking control. It is 14-10.
A little dose of Bucky Irvin in there.
Yeah, they're running it well. And CJ Stroud is just getting murdered.
Yeah.
He might be dead, actually. Yeah. I think he is.
He will be the next Joe Burrow. I love CJ Stroud, and he plays his ass off. And it's malpractice what they do in front of him along that offensive line.
And Suk, you know better than I would, but aren't the Bucs missing Tristan Wirfs and maybe another starting offensive lineman doing this?
They are, yeah.
Yes, sir. Again, there's ways you can minimize. When you have a bad O-line or a wonky O-line, you can hide things and kind of muck things up. It's what the Seahawks are trying to do with their O-line. It's what the Steelers are trying to do with Aaron Rodgers. And this idea that, like, Cincinnati and Houston, it's like, hey, we don't have a good O-line, so let's just play shotgun and go four wide, and God forbid we protect our quarterback and then have him get rid of the ball as quick as possible and hope he only gets hit 17 times a game. It's just, like I said, it's malpractice.
So ChatGPT is turning our brains into applesauce.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I didn't know it turned into applesauce, but I don't think in any shape it's good for us. My favorite thing is there is a whole generation of kids now that are taking the idea of, I don't need to learn anything. I don't need to know anything because I'll just ask ChatGPT.
Exactly.
And then whatever ChatGPT says, they take it as the gospel truth. Just terrifying.
So MIT researchers have looked into this now. And it's the first brain scan study of ChatGPT users,
mm-hmm.
and the results are terrifying.
Oh, boy.
AI is not making us more productive. It's making us cognitively bankrupt.
Yeah.
So 4 months of data. Here's what it says. The study divides subjects, 54 of them, 18 to 39 years old, all from the Boston area, into three groups and asked them to write several SAT essays using OpenAI's ChatGPT, mm-hmm. Google search engine, and nothing at all, respectively. Researchers used an EEG to record the writer's brain activity across 32 regions and found that of the three groups, ChatGPT users had the lowest brain engagement and consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels. Over the course of several months, ChatGPT users got lazier with each subsequent essay, often resorting to copy and paste by the end of the study.
Yeah.
The paper suggests that the usage of LLMs could actually harm learning, especially for younger users. The paper has not yet been peer-reviewed, and its sample size is relatively small. But its main author felt it was important to release the findings to elevate concerns that a society increasingly relying on this for immediate convenience, long-term brain development may be sacrificed in the process.
Yeah, there was one I read, and I want to say it was off of, it was in Wired. It was one of those articles that came across my...
I like Wired.
Yeah, Wired does have some good stuff, and they were saying that there had been some, same sort of thing, just some studies that weren't conclusive, but some researchers doing studies, and they were saying that this generation, the this AI and... And even not just AI, but just like even just Google, critical thinking is going by the wayside. There is no more critical thinking. It is someone, and half the time it's not even someone, something just telling you what your opinion is, and that is terrifying.
We're just making, it feels like we're just making the shortcut shorter every single time. And at some point, just landing where you need to be, you don't get or develop anything outside of you. I mean, I don't know if you guys see this on Twitter at all, but now everyone wants to like ask Grok, the robot, about whatever. Somebody will post a thread of like 3 or 4 tweets, and someone will ask Grok, please summarize the thread. It's 4 tweets. It's been summarized. Like, it's already short form.
Well, and now you're getting to the point where it's making us more pliable to influence. Because it's just like, I'm too busy to have an opinion. Tell me what my opinion is. Oh, this is the opinion. Cool. I'm going to run with it. And that makes it really, really easy to manipulate. And, you know, some of the was it Grok or whatever? Like, I've already seen where people are saying, dude, some of the stuff that thing's cranking out, again, realize where that's coming from. Like, who's AI?
Well, that's Elon,
Elon.
Yeah, they've had to shut Grok down multiple times and, like, retool it because of the things it's spitting out.
Yeah, so it's.
Do you use it much?
No, I never do.
I don't.
I don't really use it at all either.
I don't.
I know a lot of people do.
I try in my life not to be the old man. That just, you know, that yells about technology. And it's an old man yelling at clouds.
I probably do use it more on this show than anything else, because now when you type into Google, if you use like a question word first, like what or who, it'll just populate an AI answer for you, as opposed to just coming up with like a list of search hits.
Yeah,
and
makes sense.
But that's about the extent of it.
When we were in Italy, my buddy downloaded the advanced version of the pay version of ChatGPT. And it was kind of cool because we were like, we'd be in a museum and everything was in Italian, and you could just hold your phone up and be and ask, hey, why is this important? And it would crank out a really cool, you know, this is what this painting is. And we're like, oh, that's really neat. There's a big line. Why is this building important? So that stuff I thought was really cool.
Well, you know, you can Google all that.
Yeah, I know. But like, I didn't know
the name. But that's the easiest way to harness all of that.
And I didn't know the name. Like I said, there was like a big line, so we couldn't even get to the painting that had the, you know, the name of it. Like if there's 30 people in front of this painting, it was the gal in the seashell.
Yeah.
And I knew that painting. I had seen it. And I was like, I knew that was a famous painting. And so we just, you know, you're like, hey, instant. And it cranked out why that was a big deal. So that stuff's cool. But I don't know. This might be the ultimate old man thing that I have so far. Is I thought this guy summarized it really well. Or gal, someone said, we're going to one day look back at a lot of these tech companies the same way we look at big tobacco. I really do believe
that's
that.
That's a good call.
I think, like, even the Charlie Kirk thing that happened and the response to it, I just... AI and social media and all that being driven. And by the way, half of this Discord that's being, like, thrown out there is bots. We know that a lot of the controversial stuff that's being thrown out there, whether, you know, it's right wing, left wing, whatever, it's like it's engagement farmers. It's like Russia and Chinese bots that are out there, and they stir people into an absolute frenzy. And I just don't see in any way how AI or and all this stuff ends up being a net game for us. I just don't. I think it will be so detrimental to society. And I've heard from so many teachers and seen interviews with teachers where like, dude, this is the downfall of education.
And that's the thing where I find it like disappointing, is it feels like the technology just by itself could really help humanity and us do a lot of real good stuff. They're talking about helping it, you know, reverse engineering cancer cells so you understand how those start and things. And like, there are so many applications that could be great, but the most basic ones are the ones that are going to ruin us.
Yeah. I mean, there was like one kid, I think it was at UCLA, which by the way is one of the best public institutions in the country. Try getting into UCLA sometime. It sucks at sports or football, but it's a mother bear of a university.
I'm not going to try that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get in. UCLA is a bitch to get into. And there was a kid that, I believe it was UCLA, at his graduation, he walked across with his laptop and held it up, and he was basically taunting, saying he did no work. He let ChatGPT get his entire degree. And he held that up as some sort of like
a badge of honor.
Like a badge of honor. And that just blows my mind. Like, how ignorant and dumb can you be? What skills did you learn other than you know how to cut corners? And maybe that guy goes on to be a great entrepreneur or whatever, but that sort of mentality is just really, really, really dangerous. And letting something think for you, I just can't think of anything scarier for like a dystopian future other than just saying, well, I'm just going to let a computer form all of my opinions. And by the way, that computer is being programmed by somebody, which means someone out there is telling it what to tell you.
Well, I don't know if you guys have noticed, we've talked about it here a little bit, but the AI overview on Google is not that accurate.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to say it's like 70% for us, because the three of us will sit here and one of us will Google something and then someone else will be like, yes, well, that's not right. This team won in 2015 or whatever. And we're like, yeah, hey, what's that about?
Well, it doesn't. I saw one the other day. As a matter of fact, it applies to the show because we were talking about Xavier Leggett's
His accent.
Yeah. Accent. And Buck brought to my attention that I saw some videos where it looked like he was faking his accent.
Yeah.
So I said a deep ball, man.
Texted over to Buck. I'm like, hey, we need to explore this. Well, then I go to Google and I hit, is Xavier Leggett's accent fake?
Yeah.
And AI said, yes, it's fake. Well, you know what it was based off of? It was based off a bit that Xavier Leggett did with the Panthers saying it was fake. He was joking that it was fake. So AI cannot discern. Yeah. What is
humor, sarcasm,
or, you know.
Huh.
So it had that as, yeah, his accent's fake. No, if you go look at the bit, it was just they were just doing, it was like a preseason thing that the Panthers were doing.
Fun thing. Yeah,
so anyway.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, and so oftentimes the AI overview, even though it's kind of a nice tool.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
It's not always correct, because the Google search sometimes takes you. You got to go deeper to find the actual answers.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, good talk. All right.
He said, as a state employee who's been told we can't use AI, I work tax appeals and can absolutely tell when employers are using AI when filing their appeals. Yeah. I mean, and that's what teachers are saying.
Yeah,
teachers
that's interesting. They can see
teachers are looking at papers and being like, dude, you did not write this.
Right.
Well, now they have some cool tools, too. They have one that, like, basically you can make your students... essentially, like, if you're asking them to write an essay, write it in like a internet plugin extension that is just tracking how much time you spend in the document. They're tracking the words as they get typed. So and then they're tracking for like AI algorithms. So you can't just go and copy and paste something from the internet and drop it in, because it'll tell your teacher this person spent 2.5 minutes on this and that's it.
Yeah, I'm just scared. Again, my biggest thing is I'm scared that we are losing the ability to form independent thought, and that critical thinking skills are going by the wayside. And when you lose the ability to form independent thought and think about things for yourself, boy, that is a future that absolutely terrifies the living hell out of me.
What are the coolest things to collect next on The Fan? Yeah, thank you. Nice to have you along. Going to move to a lighter topic now.
Someone's saying, by the way, the moment we started talking about AI, the app completely crapped out. So our AI overlords were listening to us and they didn't like us.
Well, let's not blame AI for the app crapping out. A little unfair, don't you think?
Because it just kept rewinding like the same 30 seconds of audio. That had me calling UCLA a bitch.
Do you collect anything? Are you a collector?
I am not a collector. A lot of people in my family are. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I would say. Does it count? Like, if I travel to a land, I always bring back a knick-knack.
Well, yeah.
I think if it was the same knick-knack from every place, like, let's say you got a bottle opener or a fridge magnet, but no. I think you have to collect one of the same thing for it to be collection.
Then no. I don't have a...
You don't think it's a collection if he's got a bunch of foreign knick-knacks?
Well, I don't know. If you get like a kazoo from the, you know, like from somewhere in Asia, and then you get, I don't know, like a painting from Europe, did you collect things when you were traveling, or did you just get two random items?
Yeah, whenever I go somewhere, I get something that kind of, I don't know, like it symbolizes where I went. And I have a shelf that just has, it is the most hodgepodge. Some of it, I have sand. I've collected some sand from beach. And like when I went to Bali, I got a Hindu elephant. You know, I don't know. And
we got one of those in Thailand.
Yeah, just random.
I don't know. To me, I don't collect anything.
I'm not a collector.
I never really have. Cards when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But
Pogs when I was a kid.
What?
Pogs.
Pogs.
What are Pogs?
They were the. It was the lids of the pine orange guava juice. It was the game that kids played. It was you were probably just past it, but it was honestly it was like a little gambling game. You'd stack them up and you'd have a slammer and you'd throw the slammer down and whatever Pogs flipped, you got to like keep in a little like betting game, and it was huge in elementary middle school.
I'm too old.
Like in the 90s, that was a big deal. I remember the Pogs.
In the 90s, I was on to chicks. Chicks and weed, man.
No, I'm trying to think. Although someone's saying, if it's on the same shelf, isn't that a collection?
Yeah, I mean, I could see both sides of that.
It's a collection, but I'm not a collector. It's a collection of things, but...
I don't know. I've always viewed collecting as... it's expensive.
Yes.
And
I don't get it.
I don't... To me, there's just... I'd rather spend my money elsewhere. I don't need a bunch of the same thing.
No.
I don't know. I just would spend it on experience. But, you know, to each their own. I was reading an article about a guy who, people who collect license plates. This is the big one.
I see those. Like, that's a big deal. Like, I've been in a couple of people's garages, and they've got...
Oh, yeah.
It's license plates and old like car memorabilia, like signs, like gas station signs. Like, that's a big deal.
So there's a dude who's trying to collect a license plate from 500 jurisdictions worldwide.
Okay.
Now, the Holy Grail, you care to guess where the Holy Grail would be from?
A license plate, North Korea.
Think about it. No, Vatican City.
Oh.
Got to get the license plate from Vatican City.
Okay. I would think that, is it that? I think North Korea, like... Okay.
My guess is population-based. Like, I think that the Vatican City is so small, there are so few total license plates that would exist. Yeah. Whereas even though we can't get in and out of North Korea, it would be easier to come by one of those, perhaps.
So this dude's 27 years old. He's not old.
Okay.
And he already has over 2,000 plates from 400 jurisdictions in 70 countries.
So he's just buying these, like, on eBay or something?
No, he's going there.
Oh, he actually goes there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going. He's traveling. He's like, dude, it's a great way to see the world.
Okay. And do you steal the license plate, or do you just? Like,
I think you get a hold of government officials, and maybe they'll hook you up. There's all kinds of different. I mean, they'll do anything to get these plates. Like, these are like extreme collectors.
Well, that's why I kind of thought maybe you just like you thrift shop, because you go to like garage sales.
Well, people, you can do that.
Yeah,
too.
Like the people always have old license plates for sales.
Yeah, there's probably a million ways once they get there to dig them up. But maybe go to a junkyard or something. I don't know.
This guy says he collects electronic key cards from hotels. A lot I don't remember, but the ones I do are really cool. That's kind of fun.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Just kind of where all the places you've been. I mean,
but they aren't. Are they?
Some of them have like the logos on them. Other ones are just plain. But I mean, I guess if you like wrote it out, like.
I used to keep my ticket stubs from all the sporting events that I went to, thinking that I would put them all in one place eventually, and then I lost track of them.
Now there's
keep it up.
Now no one does tickets anymore. It's all digital. So that kind of collection is over. I don't know. It's just like there's another guy. I mean, how is that any different than license plates? You know, or sports memorabilia. I mean, whatever. Some people collect stamps. I know that's a big one.
Stamps are big. Coins are big.
Yeah.
Comics are big.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, comics.
People collect, like, oh, boy, Baker maybe.
Pokemon cards.
Was he okay? Oh, no, he bounced up.
Sports cards.
Yeah, sports collectible. Records. Sports collectible, like autographs, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, I guess I don't know if that counts. We have a vinyl collection, and when we go to, like, thrift shops or go to garage sales, like, we try to add to it, but I feel like that's just buying music.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean.
Cars, you Jay Leno.
I got a buddy of mine that's a bit of a car guy.
Gay Beat Up Club.
Yeah, he's got like 10, and Yeah, I'm always like, well, I mean,
yeah, how many do you have to have to for it to be a?
That's a lot. I mean, 10 cars.
Motors, but what's a collection?
I would say 10's a collection.
But does four? I would say four. I bet that you assume maybe both adults in a household have a car, and then if potentially there's a third car, then you're like, oh, maybe we use this for something else. Once you have four, you've got a collection, right? That's where I would distinguish, I think.
Yeah, that's... I would say to me a collection is like you don't... Like I have
You don't use them or they're not regular?
I have three bicycles. Mm-hmm. But all three serve...
A different purpose.
A different purpose. I feel like if I had another bike...
You'd be collecting them.
I feel like it would be a... Because that would be a like... I have a mountain bike, like a commuter bike, and then a bike that I ride for like exercise. Like when I actually like ride. If I had another bike that didn't serve a purpose, then I would think I have a bike collection. But now I just think I have three
functional
bikes.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my thing, like with a car. I get like if you have a convertible that you drive in the summer, maybe a truck is like, you know, you have like a work truck and then you have like a good efficient gas car or like an EV or something to commute in. You get one more car. I think that's what it is. I think it's the superfluous item. Then I think that becomes a collection.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't put a number on it.
Yeah.
Depending on what the item is.
Yeah. And then like pop culture stuff like Funkos, anything like that, that's just a collect. You're just
like what?
Like Funkos.
Funko
or
Pops. Funko. There's one. Hold on. There's one of them in here.
Yeah, Funkos are like the little. You'll know when you see them. Yeah.
These little guys.
That's Funko.
Never seen that before in my life.
Oh, they're huge.
Really?
Yeah.
Because people. So this one is a custom one that is supposed to be swag, but yeah. They make them for
everybody.
Every cartoon, every actor, every athlete. And so there are people that have entire walls of these things.
Yes. And they're very, very collectible. And people don't want to open them. You got to keep them in the box.
Yep.
This guy says he has over 100 pairs of shoes. That's a shoe collection.
Well, yeah. I think the shoe thing is probably the newest.
That's a very common one right now.
Most popular one.
See, and that one fascinates me.
Watches. People collect watches.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's an expensive hobby. Yeah. Like, but the shoe one is crazy. Like, I like shoes, and I have a couple pairs of Jordans that I'll wear them, and people are like, oh, man, you're wearing those. I'm like, yeah, it's a pair of shoes.
Yeah, from my feet.
And they're like, man, I would never wear those. And I'm like, well, then why would you? I that fascinates me, the idea of having shoes and you don't wear them, or you have a car and you don't drive it. That would weird me out.
That's why I don't get the – I mean, I'm not judging. I just – for me, collecting things is weird because you don't do anything with – Yeah. A lot of the things.
Yeah.
Now, if you're collecting for future resale, that's, that's different.
Yeah.
But why would you have 100 pair of shoes?
I think it's like a...
if you don't wear them.
Well, like, my brother has... that's his hobby. He collects. And, like, down in his... I assume it's still there. Down in, like, in his basement is just... I mean, I don't want to know how much money... I mean, just... And he's not like a wealthy, he's just a normal guy. He spends so much money on memorabilia. And it's like, it's autographs. And I've never understood it, but it brings him.
He loves it.
He loves it.
It's now, see, for him, it's a lot probably about the experience of getting it.
Yeah. And like,
then putting it in the room and setting it up.
He just sits down there and it's like being surrounded by that just makes him happy. And
that's cool.
Yeah, I will never understand that. But for him and collectors, I've seen collectors, they just sit amongst their stuff and it's just, it like radiates joy.
Well, that's great.
Yes.
That's what it should be.
I do not, somewhere, and there's a, like most people in my family are like that. My family are all big collectors of things. And shocker, I am not. I think I was born into the wrong family. I just don't have that gene. It just, there's something about that where I'm like, what? And the stuff that I did collect when I was little, when I was young, I just gave it. I'm like, someone will come over to my house and be like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, you want it?
It's lost its importance to you.
Yeah, it just sits in the...
It just turns into junk.
Yes. I've given away so much stuff over the last 15 years because it's just, like, I have football stuff. And when I played, I collected that stuff. And someone would be like, oh, man, that's really cool. I'd be like, why do you want that? And they're like, what? I'm like, it literally is sitting in a box or sitting on a shelf. And if you think it's cool and it'll bring you happiness, like, here, take it. because it sits there. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, years and years ago, that just I made a right hand turn at Albuquerque.
Fan personality, who is the biggest collector?
I think Sprague's a collector.
Is he?
Well, he's talked about, like, I was listening to them once, and he said, like, he wanted to spend money. I don't know if he ever did, but it was like, he wanted, like, a Back to the Future, like, Marty McFly, like, Michael J. Fox, like, autograph, like, lithograph thing that was, like, hundreds of dollars, and it was like, he desperately wanted it. And I was like, oh. So, I remember him saying that, so there may be something there. He could be a collector. I could see Dirt being a sports memorabilia collector.
See, I see swag with all kinds of
I was thinking, like, things. I could see swag collecting whiskeys or, I mean, plenty of things.
Somebody says, you just haven't found your collection passion. Wait until you come across a vintage 1970s Playboy.
I could see Schulte being a collector.
There you go. He does. In fact, he's a card guy. Collect?
Mariner stuff?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. If I had money, I would be an art collector. I like art. I just can't afford anything really nice. But I like art and photography. Although, again, is that a collection? I have a buddy of mine that's a really good photographer, and I love when I get one of his photographs and blow it up into a really nice print. Like, I like looking at stuff like that. I'm also currently trying to find, you know, those velvet, like, 70s nudes? Like the velvet paintings? Like from the, like the 1970s, and it would be like some nude gal with like an afro. You know what I'm talking about?
No,
you haven't seen those.
No,
look up velvet nude painting. You'll immediately be like, oh, and people will have them like up in bars. Do velvet nude painting.
Yeah, I got nothing.
What?
No, I don't know it.
But you know of what I speak.
No,
I'm trying to look for them right now.
I'm seeing them. This is foreign to me. They just look like nude.
They're like velvet paint. They were big like in the 1970s.
Huh.
I got nothing.
And I've wanted one of these, and so I was like, I think they're kind of funny and kind of thing. Yeah, it's like you see them. There's like some of the bars I go to will have these, and I'm like, it's like vintage like 70s decor. For whatever reason, in the 1970s, we thought that was like classy. And so I was like, a number of years ago, I was like, dude, I'm going to get this velvet. I'm going to get a velvet nude painting. I'm going to put it like in my living room. I think it's funny. Turns out they're massively collectible and freaking expensive and hard to find.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen those.
And I'm like, dude, I am not spending $3,000. Like the first time I was at a thrift shop in Vancouver, and I walked in and they had this awesome velvet painting of this it's the tasteful nude, and she was like on a bearskin rug, and I'm like, done. I'm like, let's go. And the guy's like, well, that's not for sale. I'm like, what do you mean it's not for sale? He goes, well, that's kind of my own personal collection. I was like, dude, it's a thrift store, everything's for sale. And he goes, fine. He goes, I might be able to let it go. So I was like preparing myself for like $200, you know, for a cheesy like velvet nude, and he's like, I'll let it go for $4. And I was like,
four G's.
Well, that's what I was like. So I was like, four. I was like, God, that's. So I thought, like, we'd
win. You're thinking 400?
Like, yeah, I'm an idiot thinking he was saying 400. Dude meant $4,000. And I was like, you are. And the guy's like, dude, do you know what these. And then that's when I realized these are like these highly collectible things. So I spent the last handful of years just when I'm out and about, I kind of look for one of these, and they are super collectible and hard to find. Who would velvet nude, like you might see the velvet Elvis paintings were a big deal for a while.
Yeah, the text line saying that every mom had those in the 70s.
Yes.
Elvis.
This like Elvis made, like Elvis had, like if you go to Graceland, these velvet paintings are up in Graceland all over the place. And it's become this weird, weird pseudo collectible thing. Why they're worth any money, I have no idea. But people
just
want
scarcity, probably.
Yeah, people want them.
Not that many of them?
Yeah.
Who made them?
I don't know.
Just people. Are we in a beard renaissance? Next, here's Beckley. Here's John. Yeah.
Doing great.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have to break.
Oh, yeah.
What I was going to tell you is that we're in a beard renaissance. They actually track these things,
mm-hmm.
like actual renaissance.
What does that even mean?
Ooh, there's a
teddy. Yeah, how is a renaissance defined?
Look at that, Buck.
Yep.
You got your teddy.
Teddy.
Texans have just taken the lead on the Bucs.
That actually may be the best thing that could happen to Tampa Bay, to be honest with you.
I agree with you.
Because
now they have 2 minutes to try to tie it.
Yeah, I really, if you're the Texans.
You could have just milked it and kicked a field goal.
Kick a field goal and win, although I think the Bucs have all their timeouts, so they probably wouldn't have let you. But this
so it's
actually,
19-14. They have to get a two-point conversion to go up seven.
Yeah, so this may actually end up, I'm not saying that Tampa Bay let them score, but.
Oh, they might have, yeah. You might be right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's he was untouched. I wonder if there wasn't a guys just let him go here. Because now you got all your timeouts and almost 2 minutes and some change.
That helps Houston betters though.
Yeah, it does.
Huh?
I'll be interested.
Am I right, Buckley?
Yeah.
I'll be interested in the post game if he says that they let him score.
Judging on the replays, it didn't look like the defense was intentionally cooked. It just looked like they were authentically cooked.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Houston's offense has been rough in this game, but somehow they're winning.
Well, both of these defenses are quite good, and you know, and the Tampa even gave up a blocked punt, held them to a field goal, and then you know that punt return. So the Tampa defense has held up their end.
But I tell you, I got to call something.
Yeah,
I just got to call it.
Yeah,
Baker turnover in 3-2-1.
I would tell you this.
Am I wrong?
No, Tristan Wirfs, and you're going to have to throw the ball. That Houston front is going to pin their ears back, and that ball better come out in a hurry, and I mean a hurry.
Well.
Yeah, the beard renaissance. I don't know what a beard renaissance. I mean, we all have beards.
Well, there have been periods of history. Yes, everyone has a beard now.
Yes.
And
now I'm getting the, like, I've heard some, like, I've seen some, like TikToks and, Twitter stuff.
Like TikToks like?
Like TikToks.
And
where girls are now raging against beards.
Well, here's the thing. It's going to turn the other way.
Yeah.
It always does.
Always.
And so this says, now this is the New York Times talking about this. According to a popular beard blog, there have been 4 great beard movements in history. So there are periods of time where you can see men had beards.
Yes.
And then other times where it's thought of as like you're a loser. Mm-hmm. You know, you're hiding something.
Yeah. Or you viewed as low class.
So, second century, the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and the late 19th century, and we are currently in the 5th beard movement.
Mm. Living in the glory days of a 5th beard movement?
It's a Renaissance, and it is true. I mean, hell, the New York Yankees, for heaven's sakes, have... gotten rid of
well-groomed beards.
Yeah, they've allowed beards. And
we have a vice president that has a beard.
Yes, exactly. Politicians are wearing them now.
Yeah. Ted Cruz.
Now, traditionally, beards have signified virility.
Mm.
Though in the 60s and 70s, the last great beard renaissance, they came to symbolize rebellion, literal and cultural, against the establishment.
Yeah.
So what they mean now, that's for you to decide. Mm. What we're doing here, but
beards used to be like it was a biker thing, you know, the outlaw image.
But we are now.
That means you're a chef and you've got a whisk tattoo on your neck.
We are in the age of the beard.
Hmm. Well, I mean, does it say something that Are we the first fully bearded show in fan history?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
I think we may. Well, for
we didn't have a show in the 1800s.
No. Well, Colin never had one. Like, Kermit didn't have one. Those early days, John Lund didn't have one. Furness didn't have one. And then for a
we might have had a show in the Middle Ages on The Fan. Who are our middle-aged hosts? Oh, the, wait, that's us.
And then it was you and me. And then, like, we added, like, none of the Wilcox and Demers and...
I feel like everyone has a beard now to the point where you don't even notice it. You know?
I mean, but...
And so when I'm thinking, to answer your question, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I don't even know who has a beard and who doesn't.
No one else on the staff has a beard.
Really?
No.
It's just us?
Swag doesn't.
Does Dirt?
Meringue does. He's got a goatee.
He's got a goatee. That's not a beard. He's Meringue's still doing that 1992 thing. No, Sprague doesn't. Dusty doesn't. Patrick doesn't. He's got a mustache.
Dusty's got stubble.
Yeah. I think we're the only show, and I think we're the only show in fan history. We have a fully bearded show. I think Dirt has...
Manliest show at the Fan.
I think Dirt has some form, but his isn't... His is like... I think he's got, I don't know what you call that, like so a three-day beard.
This is saying that the new facial hair renaissance seems intrinsically connected to the current discourse around masculinity and the manosphere. Mm. There is little, after all, more redolent of manliness than facial hair, the visual expression of testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
It's no accident that J.D. Vance is not the only member of Team Trump to have a beard. So do Donald Jr., Commerce Secretary Howard Letnick, and Senator Ted Cruz. Yeah, Teddy Cruz is rocking a beard these days.
Butching up. And yeah, it looks like Dirt has he's got a light beard, but he does have a beard. So the fan staff is beard light.
Well, male facial hair, they're saying now, has become cliche because everyone's got it. And so once that happens, it is inevitable. It has always happened that people will start moving in the other direction. So shave your beard tomorrow.
No.
Yes. Be a pioneer, Jace.
No. Although you could convince me to shave and go mustache.
Me too.
I'm bald, so bald, no facial hair. Nope. Welcome to the penis gang. I'm all right.
All right. We got to wrap this bitch up, don't we?
Let's do it.
We'll do that next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I've noticed this is the second voice guy we've had that's really struggling with rivalry week.
I thought maybe it was a purpose pitch that he was saying rivalry week as a
because the last guy did that, Vic.
Yeah,
and this is our new voice guy, and he's struggling. Look, it's not easy.
No,
rivalry week. A 2012-5 upset.
Yeah.
But you know, I heard a little bit of it in there.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was intentional.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to get a bananas finish down here in this Bucks-Texans game.
We sure are. We got Baker driving. 35 seconds.
But you got two timeouts left, so plenty of time. Time
down
will be
five.
An issue. And,
they're down in the inside. Are they in the red zone?
I think they're right around the 20.
Close to it, if not.
I'm telling you, Baker turnover in 3-2-1.
I love watching Baker.
He's great. He's
he's a throwback.
He's making some plays.
Yeah, running around out there. And
looking like Oklahoma.
Yes. And that's fun. I just like that there's still room for that in today's NFL. And if you're Cleveland, great idea cutting him loose, by the way. Enjoy your fate.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, at the 20.
Joe Flacco.
there we go.
Hey, is Dylan Gabriel going to be the starter there soon?
Yes, I think so. By the way, we now have first and goal, 24 seconds, couple timeouts
Clock's
from about the 8
Why are they not
line.
Taking a timeout?
Yeah,
what are they doing?
Because now you've got the full complement. You got two plays. Yeah. Oh. This is awesome.
Maybe three plays. They're down to 9 seconds.
9 seconds. But now time's not, well, I mean, yeah, you might want to have called one on that last one. But now I guess like the ball doesn't have to go into the end zone, but you're at like the 3, so it
well, you
will.
Can run it.
You
now,
can
though.
Run it. That's the point. Yeah, you can run it.
Yeah.
Now.
So now you got to keep them on their heels.
But really, even with that, you only have about you got to be careful. Even, I mean, Baker can't run around like a jackass and then throw it incomplete because then you should get at least 3 plays out of this if they're quick hitters.
No, well, it's like Texans taking a timeout.
Oh, we got another timeout. All right. Well, then we got to go.
Yeah, we got to go.
All right, everybody. Have a great night. We are back tomorrow, 3-7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.